Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Have you ever wondered why optometrists sometimes become your primary care doctor? Dr. Robert Rothbard of Ranch Optometry portrays this to a T. Amy, also of American Financial Network, is his spokesperson for especially dry eyes and also how she was helped with that. In this talk, we talk about Dr. Bob's focus on gamers now and how to help them with their vision, along with his new book. We also talk about how he saved a life and also to how he helps headaches. Amy also talks about how I helped her daughter with scoliosis. Realize primary care doctors sometimes can be your chiropractor, optometrist, but someone who listens to you, understands how to help you or get you the right referral. Again, the show notes always has links to each specific topic. If not, we jump in the show and we'll talk to you afterwards. All right. Welcome back to Crooked Spine Show. I'm here with Dr. Bob of Ranch Optometric Center in Ranch Cucamonga. What we're going to do is talk about his book, his new vitamins he's using to help people fix their vision, along with his years of success running an optic center in Cucamonga. All right, so turn that thing off for me, Dr. Bob. I'm in my office today. I've had a long day in practice all day. Both of us have. Seeing a lot of people. I'm not tired, but I've had a lot of work, okay? I'm going to have Dr. Bob start introducing himself. I'm going to get started so I share this to my personal page so people everywhere can see it. So go ahead, Dr. Bob.
Well, your work is a lot more physically involved than mine is. That's for darn sure.
A little bit.
Oh, a heck of a lot more. You can get a workout just from doing it.
I do every day.
I know you do. Anyway, I'm an optometrist. I'm in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Been celebrating my 30th anniversary in the same shopping center. I've actually been practicing for about 38 years, graduated in 1981. Love it. And, you know, there's so much new stuff occurring with us. The newest thing is I am now in the process of editing my book. It's called Looking Good. And the subtitles of it deal with from esports and digital screen time to macular degeneration, from binocular vision to cataracts and glaucoma, and everything in between. What I try to do here is not only show a medical end of optometry, which is really, as far as my patients concerned, a very small part of the practice. My part's the functional. And I tell you, we're getting a lot of interest from the kids. Why? Because I mentioned esports. And a new question I've asked in the last couple of months was, are you a gamer? Now, years ago, that means you go to Vegas.
Yeah, you're rolling the dice.
Rolling dice, playing blackjack, rolling roulette, whatever. These are kids who are streaming on video, competing against each other, spending hours on end looking at a monitor.
Yep, come on in.
Come on in, Amy. Under a stressful situation, and I am so super excited about it because the kids are super excited about it, the parents are, and there's so much involved. We, as an optometrist, have about five areas. Let me think. I don't have it written down in front of me, so let me think if I can think of it. One, blue light. How much blue light is coming off of the actual computers on digital screens and even phones that are affecting individuals' eyes? And that is really involving the macula, the central part of clarity, which could also be affected over a long-term time. Heard of macular degeneration? The second thing we deal with are the vitamins that help to protect it. We're giving them to kids, chewables, and they say it's teen screen. And screen time for teens, from 4 to 17, just a lower dosage of the same thing, zeaxanthine and lutein. Why? Because you want to build up the pigment around the macula to protect it against the high intensity of the blue light.
Exactly.
Third, we're dealing with is what is the appropriate amount of prescription, not only for distance, but actually for reading, for close-up work, to make that person much more effective. It was really interesting, Tony. I was at E3, which is the biggest, one of the biggest conventions for gamers and game developers. I had this guy from RPI, which is Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, which is up by Albany, New York.
Okay.
They're game developers, and I knew darn well, what you guys describing me, his vision.
Mm-hmm.
He's game developers and players. They got the whole team there. It's unbelievable. And you know they're giving scholarships There you go, Amy. Scholarships to schools for playing video games. You think I'm kidding?
Well, scholarships, sponsorships.
Unbelievable. The industry and the kids are so excited. Their teachers are so excited. So this guy was a gamer and a developer. He had problems, I know, because a binocular problem. Why? He said he wore one contact lens in the eye. The only time he wore that, one, because the other eye was normal. The other eye was very farsighted, which means if you wore glasses, one eye would be a lot more magnified than the other.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
That's the basis of a lot of times called lazy eye. In other words, the individual might not have been able to see perfectly clear.
Yeah.
Sounds like Nixon, doesn't it? But you're too young to remember that.
No, I have no idea. Perfectly clear. Black and white TV.
Yeah, whatever. And anyway, so he put it on. He's told me about this. And I put lenses in front to relax his eyes, and he was able to take the screen, same thing that takes a person over 40 from here to here, push them back, relax the eyes. What effect would that have over 6 hours of video play? Huge. Another area that's very important is we really deal with a lot, and Tony, you're a chiropractor, so you would really get into vision training, getting the eyes to work together. Not to aim together like this, and to focus and to get those two systems, aiming and focusing, working together. So you can train that and make a better production. And the fifth one, and my dear friend Amy over here can sympathize with this one, dry eye. Now, I'm not violating HIPAA by saying this, am I?
No.
And that Tony will cut the shit out of this section.
Actual language. Facebook's a band name. Good. Never happened. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, sorry.
Say it.
New Yorker, what can I tell you?
Gosh,
fan of Gary Vaynerchuk. Anyway, the dry eye, what happens is when staring at a screen for a long period of time, and a lot of these individuals are afraid to actually blink their eyes, thinking they're going to miss something, we can deal with that. Okay. There's one or two drops that I use, especially one, that I deal with dry eye with individuals, and it's had really, for some people, a miraculous effect as far as that's concerned. What effect would that have if somebody didn't have dry eye while they're working, especially if they're wearing contact lenses?
What do they feel when they have dry eye? What does Amy feel?
I'll let Amy describe
what does Amy feel? Amy, come jump in here. Let me grab that.
Here you go.
This one, we have tons of room in here.
Gosh.
This is not a cubicle. Here.
This is absolutely excellent. Thanks so much.
Thank you. He's numbness.
I tell you.
All right.
Dry eye.
This is Amy Valdivia. What do you do, Amy? Just introduce yourself.
I close home loans.
Yes.
At American Financial Network.
Tremendous.
That's what I do.
Individual.
So
really
helping people, guiding them, advising them for 30
years.
And she
has a lot of live video. Check out her stuff. I'll put a link in my link for her link so we can all link together.
We're linked.
We're linked.
Sounds like we all just get along.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Should we lock arm in arm? So I went to Dr. Bob specifically for dry eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met him at the chamber.
Yeah, that's right. And every morning, literally every morning, I would wake up and I felt as if when I opened my eyes, it was ripping my eyes. It was extremely painful. And throughout the day, it just felt like I had sand in my eye all the time.
I can't imagine what's like that, because I never had this.
No relief.
I have not either.
No relief at all. So the relief would be when I first put in any drop that I could get my hands on, and I was playing with, after a while, it just got to be too many, and that was actually
It's like a medicine cabinet. I'm going to go
Whatever I can do. So that actually worked against me, and it was just making it worse and worse and worse. Next thing you know it.
And you had plugs put in your eyes too.
That's right. I did have plugs because that is one of the first things they do when you have dry eyes. They put plugs hoping that
the moisture stays in.
That's right.
So what they thought the moisture was causing it to become that clogged or that sticky where it wouldn't open up at all.
They keep the fluid in the eye, so they're draining down the nasal lacrimal duct.
Yeah.
That's the theory behind it.
So it leaves it in the eye to keep the eye moisturized and things like that.
But I was not producing enough moisture for the plug to even help.
Wow.
So next thing you know it, I'm in Dr. Bob's chair, and whatever you want to call it.
Tomato, tomato.
Yes. This drop. I have severe allergies at that time, I was going through treatment for severe allergies, which made the dry eye even worse.
More sensitive.
Because when you have allergies, you actually are taking allergy medicine, which are making
drying
your eyes drier.
Drying everything
so
out.
He gives me this drop, and immediately, literally before I even walked out the door, completely felt like my eyes were soothed.
And we've had quite a few patients
amazing.
Like this. Wow.
Yes. And this drop is for allergy eyes. However, one of the things that they're not marketing is the fact that it's actually soothing for dry eyes.
And the reason this works, Tony, are you familiar with mast cells? Ever hear of them before?
Mast cells are throughout
MAST. Yeah. They're in the eyes. And what happens is the other component of PASMA, besides being an antihistamine, it's a mast cell stabilizer.
Yes.
Okay.
And mast cells are cells everywhere, but particularly in the eye. When they degranulate, break apart, they release an inordinate amount of irritants into the eye. And destabilizes. That's why the drop, a lot of times, can last as long as 24 hours.
That's right.
And it has been, not only with Amy, but we've had several people, quite a few people, in fact. We even had the pharmacist, and good news for you, the pharmacist figured out how to get the coupons from the manufacturer. Because he started using it.
Wow.
I think the biggest thing for me was, it was one drop.
Boom, done.
And all of you are going, what? And when I first started, he actually said, you know, try two drops and see if you can get through 2 days.
Give it a couple days,
see how it works. Eventually, it was literally one drop a day, and that was it. And
well,
it was a lifesaver.
And basically what it will do, in my scientific end, the mast cell is producing inflammation, it brings down the inflammation.
It brings down, well, not like a steroid would. It doesn't go through that whole channel.
Yeah.
And steroids are a lot more, you got to be a lot more careful with steroids when you're working
effects.
With all side effects, including glaucoma and cataracts.
But
this is so much more than that. It keeps something from degranulating.
In other words,
it's not a result. You're not knocking down the inflammatory, because there isn't any inflammatory process. Because of the fact that it's stabilizing the cells to keep them from degranulating and so forth.
So the breakdown is what's causing the irritation.
And the thing of it is really, in my opinion, there for some people it might work, but the generics don't work because the active ingredient, olanzapine, is in concentration on the brand name Pazeo, 0.7%. On the generics, it's 0.1% to 0.2%. Much less dosage of
it. So higher concentration.
It's a higher concentration that actually deals with it. And also, it's a very viscous, so when you see it, God, they put this stuff on the eye.
Yeah.
And so many patients, the first time they say, God, it's cooling. As opposed to some other drops, and we won't name them this time.
Burns.
Burn like the dickens. And some of them are immunosuppressive. And they're not even sure, why would you give, in fact, the pharmacist went up, told the patients, have your doctor write a prescription for so-and-so, which was, I says, we're not even sure the lacrimal gland is being attacked by the immune system. For the immune, and immunosuppressive is, for your folks out there, think of it as someone having a kidney transplant and then administering drugs so the body does not reject the kidney. That is basically what they're doing here. To think that the body's not hurting the lacrimal gland. They never proved the lacrimal gland was the culprit in the first place. So I'm really excited.
The benefit could be worse than the benefit. So the medication you gave, is that prescribed medication?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so it has to be prescribed.
And long term, one of the things that I was dealing with was or concerned about is, what is this going to do to me long term?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of the fact, you know, the steroid.
Yeah.
It gives you the comfort that you get from the steroid. Instantly I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm on a steroid, and this is every day. I mean, this
can't be. So my immune system is going to drop, and I have other problems going on.
Exactly, and long term, they're not finding any problems.
And this is not, this is not prescribed by many at all. I'll tell you that right now.
Well,
because it's for allergies. I mean, that's every doctor I've talked to.
Most optometrists, they haven't even heard of it. To be honest with you.
And so, how did you find it?
I found it because I dealt with the first two drops, which was Panadol and Pataday. This was the third generation, right. But a much different, much more high, that's good English, much higher concentration of, and I just started using it, and anecdotally, and it worked. It's like everything else I do, I try to do something.
Like anything humans, try it, if it works, try it, great.
And it had worked, and I can think of many people, but when the pharmacist says he figured out how to get these the coupons from there, even though it's not, because most of the time they'll say it's not covered on your plan. Right. It worked out really well.
Nice. So it makes it affordable, plus practical, plus effective.
Yeah, I can't guarantee that it would be on everybody, but I talked to this one pharmacist in my area here, and the fact that he got it, used it, and it worked, and he never really dealt with it before, except by watching my prescriptions coming through, and he's a obviously he's a patient of mine.
Yeah.
It worked out really beautifully.
And that's the thing. You understand, you've been here long enough in business to where, okay, how do I get someone that, what they need, work with a pharmacist, work with people in the area, you have a good network. You don't just stay in the office every day, work 9-to-5, go home. You actually do networking in the area. People understand what you do talks, you do everything.
I tell you, Tony, I really feel blessed on that. There's so much out there. You know, I'm just reading a book by a chiropractor.
Oh.
Joe Dispenza?
Yep, Dispenza, yep.
Yep. You Are the Placebo. And a couple of other books.
He has a lot of books out
there. He really, and I enjoy listening to him. And business has been really good. How I'm going to do all this stuff, I don't know, but I'm going down. So I talked about going to the E3, which was in Los Angeles.
He's everywhere.
And I'm going down to San Diego. Not that I play any of the games. And I'm about three times as old as the average person going there.
You're only 45, so what
the heck? God, even if you reduce... Well, here's algebra for you. Reverse the numbers, add 9, and figure out the age.
Yeah.
Anyway, be dyslexic. Anyway, I'm going down to TwitchCon, which is part of Twitch.
Yep.
And to mingle and talk with individuals on what they can actually do. Because since it is such a competitive... Mm-hmm. And getting more so.
The gaming industry.
The whole gaming industry. It's on the stock market. And I just feel really unique. And you want to see the kids pop up when I mentioned esports. I had to take my ticket from E3. I have it pinned on the back of my exam room wall below, beneath the eye chart. And I go, who's up there? He says, Sonic. 3.5-year-old kid. And I forgot the other person, but it
was on the World Series.
Yeah, it really is.
Their ticket.
And this is just super excited. I feel I'm the only one dealing with this in my profession to the extent that we're bringing awareness to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can we knock on any problem? The problem is there's not that many, and there's so much of a need to do this. The big thing of the 5 that I mentioned, the appropriate lens veneer. Because what's happening now is this is not
being measured.
Yeah, in other words, you prescribe for distance, and most of the time the conventional thinking says you don't even have to consider the near until the person turns 40 and they start having presbyopia.
That's the conventional.
Yeah, that's
theory.
Conventional.
Okay.
It's not the case. You got to see what the person's vision is. You want to see if they're the type of person that when they read, they don't read here. They want to read here, even though they can see clearly at distance with or without prescription. Yeah. If they're reading here, there's an eye problem, teaming problem, and so forth. And you can't produce it. But not only as regards to esports, I'm talking about education. I'm talking about being performing in regular sports.
That's where vision training comes
in. Yeah, it really does. Now, just to show you, we're pretty altruistic because I don't do a lot of the training. I mean, I can.
Yeah, but
I
love to diagnose.
I can diagnose and send it off. To a doctor who's appropriately trained.
Right.
And most importantly, as in your field and in your field, you got to make that person motivated. I've seen your videos on mortgages. Let me tell you something. You're dynamite on there, Amy.
But it takes time and energy.
But it also, this is not the kind of thing, if you can't impress them with your knowledge, baffle them with your baloney. We've got, and I would use something else too. Tony's kind of correcting me
New Yorker.
Anyway, but what I'm saying is, it's important to be able to be, and I quote Gary Vaynerchuk, to be empathetic, to be self-aware, and to be filled with gratitude, and the most important thing, just be a nice guy.
Yeah.
And the reason
or a woman or whoever.
Oh, God. Yes.
Yeah.
Same.
Sorry,
Trying to skip wonderful fradness. PC it.
But you know, because there have been some... But listen to what's interesting to me about that last statement, too. And Gary V brought it up, Gary Vaynerchuk. I don't want to say who the individual was. He was in a major business, relatively young 50s, and he was the lead person. But the way he treated his employees and associates was so negative, and he died of an ailment at a relatively young age. And you wonder whether, you know, when you're upset and so forth, you know, cortisol and all the others, because when cortisol is produced, your anti-inflammatories are down and so forth, and you're probably more into that.
Cancer immune system drops everything, your whole body becomes
so
micro.
This is what I really deal with when I'm dealing with my patients, when I'm dealing with my comrades at the chambers, and the staff.
Your patients, you actually tell them, okay, here's your eye problem, but you look at the whole person, not just their eyes.
Right, you know.
What's your lifestyle? What's your stress level?
There's and that's a problem, because a lot of people just stop at the eyes.
Yeah.
And it's really unfortunate. You know, I'm looking at my niche getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the amount of doctors dealing with it, they're getting a lot into the medical end, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it's a very small population compared to how many people are actually working on digitals, how many 40-year-olds are actually 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, looking at screens, and they don't even have the right prescription. They have to, in your field, dealing with their neck and back problems from just having
job
the wrong...
security, my friend.
I tell you, it is. There is so much here, and I'm just, like I said, genuinely just, I'm glad I'm doing this, because every time I do one of these, I get so much friggin' more enthusiastic. It's just wonderful.
Well, tell me about your book, too. Go walk through your book. I haven't seen it yet.
Amy read it, and we're going to send it.
I guess I'll be the last one to edit this thing. I don't know.
No, you're going to be. I actually mentioned Amy by name, because she told me I could, about her situation with the dry eye. But basically, it's mostly dealing with about 34, 35, 36 patients whom I thought were interesting cases. Who I thought was, well, whatever.
Well, case.
Let me interject. Yeah,
sure. You've done
when,
the edits.
When I have. And I reviewed the book.
Thank you very much. And the first one to write me on it, too.
That's insane. I completely reviewed. I edited, reviewed. When it's a journey. It's a complete journey when you're reading this.
Okay.
You're reading about multiple patients, including myself, and you're learning about what this man does. This man takes care of his patients. I'm here because we've become friends. It's about, okay, tell me about your life. I happen to also have LASIK surgery, and I had a corneal inlay. Well, that, on top of the allergies, he's going, why would they even bother doing this to you? Because you're a perfect candidate to have the dry eye. He is finding out about your life and everything else about it, and he's getting to know his patients. So when you're reading this book, you're not just reading case studies. Yeah. He's saying it's a case study because that's his point of view. Because it's
that's how we understand it.
We're his patients.
Yeah.
But when you're reading the book from my perspective, from the patient's perspective, it's truly a journey of getting to know who this man is and his practice with his patients. That's truly what it is. Wow. When you walk into his office, those individuals that he has working for him, I mean, they truly are loyal to this man, and they will do whatever it takes to make his practice
really
comfortable.
Neat.
It's very nice. Then you walk in, and you're sitting with him, and he's talking to you, and he's going, oh, and he's asking you about your lifestyle, so he gets to know you, so he knows how to treat you appropriately. Because just by looking at the symptoms, we know that's why they call it practicing medicine.
Yeah.
By looking at symptoms, he could give me 15 different prescriptions, but we don't know really what's wrong. And then when he's asking these questions and he's getting to know you and he's paying attention to you and really listening, it's a completely different picture.
I tell you, it was really interesting. Tony, I congratulate you with the social media. This is exceptional for me. I had a patient. I always love relating to you. In fact, they wanted me to throw out the New York section of the book.
What?
It's your
the editor,
book, right?
The editor. I said, well, I'll put it toward the end instead of mixing it right in there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's just you, though. You're learning about you, right? That's what it is.
So I was back there around Christmas time. I'm up in the Bronx on Arthur Avenue, Little Italy section. It's a great place to go, by the way. Anyway, I get this message on Facebook from a friend of my sister's, but I knew her quite well. And because I had put something on Facebook in my fan page, my optometric fan page, about keratoconus, which is a progressively degenerative disease of the front surface of the eye, the cornea. And I thought she was just calling me, wish me a Merry Christmas. Or Well, bottom lining it, she says, my daughter has that condition. And I need to, her daughter was 29 or 30. Mm-hmm. I need to talk to you about it. So I did. And
go face to face or is it a phone conversation?
Well, the conversation was there. Then I talked to her because I'm back out here in California.
Okay,
she's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Right.
So I went over what she should do, what she should. And question and so forth. And I actually have the Facebook. I put a picture on there. It worked out well. She went through the surgery because there's a new surgery. It used to be that the cornea would degenerate and possibly lead to a corneal transplant.
29,
now, now they do what's called corneal cross-linking, which is basically a proprietary solution they put on the eye.
Okay.
And then they seal it with ultraviolet. It's extremely expensive, unfortunately, because of the fact there's only one company that's licensed to develop that.
That's why.
And also the surgical fees, but it has miraculously, with her, stopped the progression of keratoconus. Because when you have keratoconus and the cornea distorts, first you can't wear glasses. It's just too distorted. Then you can't wear soft contacts. And then the hard contact lenses, which will restore a new front surface, but the cornea is thinning and thinning, and eventually possibly they got to do a transplant. Could very well be genetic. So we had dinner down in, we went to Coney Island, which is in Brooklyn, and we got together, and my sister...
Because know that, you know... Exactly where we're going.
And it's called John.
I want to visualize.
Okay, so down in Coney Island. So I actually got a picture if you want to see it on Facebook.
No, I'm good.
We had gone to Julio's. Julio's in Brooklyn, 112 years old. And it was such a great feeling. It says, here's the man who was by me in step one, guiding me through what to do.
Nice.
And she says,
well, you need to tell the story about the lady whose life you saved.
This was good. God, I feel really good about this.
Good.
This lady, I have her on.
Saved
your
life.
You can go to my YouTube channel, which is just Robert
Rothbard. I'm going to connect everything, Don.
Okay.
Yeah.
This guy's great.
Flink it off.
You can keep the microphone. I'll find another one. Anyway.
Wow. Okay.
That's a gift.
Yeah, a gift for doing this stuff. Wow. I'm serious. Anyway, here's a lady who came in. Think about this. And there's a follow-up that's not in the book regarding, I'll tell you this in a second. I got a headache and I got blurred vision. Well, who doesn't come to the eye doctor with headaches and blurred vision?
Yeah, that's common, right?
So I look back there and notice the optic nerve, which is in the back of the eye, and it's blurred. It should never be blurred. It usually means there's something wrong somewhere, usually in the front part of the brain or whatever. But what happened was when we did a peripheral vision test, she had a distinct visual defect. In other words, you mentioned you look straight ahead, one eye's covered. You measure little dots coming on, and you click the button and see where it is. Same thing with the other eye. The defect was in the same area on the test. Can't be the eye, had to be the brain where the visual fibers crossed. Referred her out. It took a little while for her insurance company to get on the stick to refer her. She went to the ophthalmologist. I'm trying to think which one it was. Doesn't matter.
You said, but let's talk about the details. Now all of a sudden he's omitting details. We knew about the restaurant, but now all of a sudden he's omitting the details here that we really need to know.
Yeah.
He proceeds to tell her, while she's sitting in the chair,
there's
something really wrong.
Oh,
This is not
emergency
my scope.
Situation.
This is not my office kind of a not go pick out your frame problem. This is a bigger problem. You need to be seen by an ophthalmologist. You need to go. He literally takes her down, telling her the different steps that she needs to go through in order to be treated appropriately.
Yeah.
So some doctors would say, oh God, you know, I don't want to refer somebody out because that's my business. But this is
that,
the practice
to me, is
that
the most,
you get.
That, and it is true, and I'm not saying you're ridiculous, but that kind of
stuff. Well, a lot of doctors don't want to say, I don't know.
Well, anyway.
It's a form word.
I think most people might deal with this, in all fairness, Tony.
Yeah.
Referred, but anyway, she followed through. The ophthalmologist saw how they did a CT scan and probably an MRI and saw a half an inch aneurysm.
Yeah.
They immediately scheduled surgery. It ruptured on the operating table, lost the vision in that eye, saved her life, and they said she would have died if it wasn't there, but that thing ruptured. And so in 2 weeks, it would have ruptured.
Well, did she regain vision back?
Lost in one, the other eye was perfect.
Okay.
Except for maybe needing glasses.
So for the remainder of her life, she's lost vision.
Yeah, there's no vision.
There's no way.
But that visual field defect that was in the good eye, no longer there.
Nice.
And what the follow-up to that, which...
What does an aneurysm cause if it bursts without being...
What's that?
Taken care of. An aneurysm, when it bursts, what happens?
You can die. Because especially in the brain.
Right. Yeah.
And, or severe paralysis.
Stroke,
or
things like that.
Total incapacitation. Yeah. Another friend of ours, whom you know, but I don't want to mention his name, his secretary complained of headaches. And he goes, go see Dr. Bob.
Mm-hmm.
She never did. And it was an aneurysm and it ruptured. She's in critical condition. I don't even know if she's 50. She's in her 50s, I believe.
Oh. Yeah.
So this lady, by the way, was only about 46 or 47 years of age.
Wow.
You can see her on YouTube. Also, we've had one with... tumors, another one too, on the YouTube channel. But there is so much that we have to offer. I really think, quoting an old optometrist in Oregon, I believe his name was Dr. Tully Greenstein, back in the 70s when I was up there, this is really one of the best kept secrets.
Oh, absolutely.
Of what's really happening with this. There is so much out there, and the cases...
But you do the background, you actually stay in current with the studies, and continue your reading and post-education, so you use that new information along with the old information to really make a practice.
I mean, really to consult and put the... And if we don't know the answers, believe me, my father was a malpractice attorney, and the number one reason for malpractice, one, being stupid with the patient,
and
stupid meaning the way you talk to him, but also lack of referral to the appropriate source.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to tell one more case, and then this one's interesting too. I had a patient after brain surgery, and she needed it. She started walking into walls.
After brain surgery?
After brain surgery. The worst thing was, the physician who did the surgery said she was malingering, faking it.
That's not good.
And she was depressed. She couldn't read. She couldn't drive. What happened was, apropos of the person who I just mentioned, they cut visual fibers going to the back of the brain, and that dealt with both sides. So if this eye was covered, she could see everything over there and nothing over here.
Did they cross fiber?
With this eye, she could see everything over there, nothing. In other words, she had no field on this side. Oh. So what do? Well, you can't restore the fibers that were cut.
Yeah.
Although with neuroplasticity, I'm not sure, because some of it did come back.
Okay.
Which is a substitute that I think is fantastic. The brain can readjust. It's very dynamic. Anyway, we gave prisms, which basically shift the image up, down, left, and right, and we moved the world over, and she was good.
Gave her that vision back.
Function back. She still had the blind spot, but not even vision training, sir. It's just the fact that we took the part that was, we centered her better, and she walked straight. Mm-hmm. I was part of a malpractice lawsuit describing this, and perhaps the doc, she shouldn't have prevailed, because the question is, did the doctor have to cut these fibers to save her life, whatever the surgery was?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. The reason she was mad, he never acknowledged that she had a problem. She just said she was malingering, faking it, get out of my office.
Yeah.
That's what malpractice lawsuits are made of.
You know, it's in the person's head.
It really is. Yeah. People just want to be respected. That whole thing, I think Teddy Roosevelt said it, nobody cares what you know until they know that you care.
Yeah.
And I think that's so big in my industry. It really is. And like I said, with corporate taking control of many practices, there was one big ophthalmological firm, I think, that was taking off. It really shocked me. And that's one thing, I have enough unique, and I better be doing this for the next 25 or 30 years, because... Mm-hmm. And I better stay darn healthy at this.
That's the
because
plan.
Because I'm not taking on any
I'll
partners.
See you at the gym doing your videos.
Yep. That's another thing. We shoot our videos in the sauna. With my homie hat on. And
oh, gosh. Well, the thing is, you have a heart of gold.
Oh, thank you.
You live like you're 25 years old, and you're smart as heck because you keep your brain active. You keep reading all the time.
And he's hanging out with the young kids at E3.
I got to show you this, Tony. Let me see if I can get on here. Talk to Amy first.
Yeah, Amy, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Good. What details would you like to know?
Yes.
We were just at the chamber.
Yes.
At Last Name Brewing.
Mm-hmm. I was going to come to that, but you know something.
Yeah, had a detour.
I went home. I had a rest a little bit.
Maybe a live session.
And one thing with Amy, what she does, she is phenomenal. What she does with home loans because she educates her patients, like Dr. Bob.
Oh, she's tremendous on that. She has a part of that's really.
Well, that's why we're sitting in this room together because. You are not giving yourself enough credit.
Yeah, it's great.
Let me just say, a 13-year-old child who was 22
degrees
off,
uh-huh.
off kilter.
Mm-hmm. Scoliosis.
There you go. Yes, and did not want to do anything that Dr. Tony told her. Literally,
she's not very happy with it.
Literally used to look at it and go,
Whatever.
Worked with him for
about 10 to 12 weeks,
and completely put her in alignment to zero.
She was a better basketball player, had sharper elbows, knocking people out.
Just got back from China playing basketball.
Look at this.
Playing basketball in China.
What?
For 8 days, and completely different, and recognizes now when she's out of alignment.
Mm.
Literally can feel herself when she's out of alignment.
And what does she do when she is?
She knows. She's got to lay down, and there's some things that she has to do.
Stretching,
some different poses and stretches.
Yep. Super.
That she has, her doc, she knows it's her Dr. Tony poses.
Yeah.
It's her Dr. Tony stretches. Yeah. There are things she has to do because he recognizes that kids, especially kids, and I can only talk from the kids' perspective because I watch this weekly.
Yes.
He recognizes kids, they don't want to do their homework, let alone have to listen to some doctor, some guy. Really? You're going to make me do this after I just... They don't want to do it. So he completely structures a plan that's going to work with their schedule. He's going to do things that, hey, remember, this stretch is something that you can do out on the track, et cetera, et cetera, and make sure that it's part of their lifestyle. And it really changes. So... That's why we're linked here, because
it's
a whole package.
Yeah.
It's a whole package.
Well, a lot of it is, too, back to me again, it's all about me, is how do you, as a child, as an adult, incorporate your routine, stretches, exercise, whatever it is, to fix scoliosis, to fix your posture, to make your body stronger to handle stress every day. Can we do that? Yes, it just takes time and energy, not a lot, but enough every day to counter that stress of what you've gone through every day. So net every day, you've stressed your body and recovered your body, so next day you feel better. Next day you feel better, and so on and so on.
And she knows one of the things that she said when she got off the plane, because after 8 days of walking a lot, playing a lot of basketball,
China.
Great Wall, went to the top,
nice.
Was in a lot of pain because of the stair climbing and playing basketball in between, et cetera, et cetera, and then up the long flight. That was quite aligning. When she gets off the plane, she says, I have to do my Dr. Tony stretches, and if it doesn't work, I got to go see Dr. Tony. So she always knows that there's a package in the background. She can always come back whenever she needs him. So that's, going back to Dr. Bob.
Was she born with this?
Born
with
this. And
hereditary.
What? She's doing this.
Yeah.
Your typical kid. So her neck is worse, and she's sitting in class all day long, and she's straining, because she went through vision training, and she's got the glasses. And she's a reader. She loves to read.
Awesome.
So what do you do when you read?
Yeah.
You're here. So if you're not on your phone, you're reading your book. He knows the whole package. He wants to know the lifestyle, literally what sports you in. This is what had her running in the hallway.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was really fun. She's looking at him. Why are you making me do these things? These two guys, this is what they do. He watched her running up and down the hallway.
She actually did it, too. It was entertaining and educational.
to make sure that her knees were in proper alignment.
Her gait pattern.
To make sure, and literally told her, stop wearing your inserts.
Yeah.
To help her, because he could see that where she was overcorrecting.
It was her fever coming in and out.
And you become, the more you practice, a critical observer of just the little bit of nuances, head tilts.
Experience.
Yes. And also the passionate and the love that you have.
Hope the show helps you understand that being a healthcare professional means you need to listen first and then help treat, either through chiropractic myself, Dr. Bob being optometrist, even with Amy of American Financial Network with her home loans, understanding some situation, listening is always the key first to help anybody. All right. Again, the show notes has the links to our other podcasts, this full video, and also links to the actual podcast on iTunes. But realize your health is your health. Find people, optometrists, chiropractors, even Amy too, to help understand your situation, what you need help with. At that point, get the right care or the right loan. Have a great day.